Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96, we do the most. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking, heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right, hey, you guys know that I'm a wrestling coach, I'm a lifelong wrestler, and I'm passionate about the sport. That being said, all wrestlers love wrestling shoes. You got to have the best shoes. And for me, my top choice is Terra Grappler. This company's only been on the market for a couple of years, and they are making a huge impact, game changers. Ever since I started wearing Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, I have not went back to any other brands. First off, man, they look good. You got to be swagged out whenever you're wrestling, but they have to be functional. The fit and form of these shoes is tremendous. When I put them on, they have a sock liner. They absolutely mold to my foot. They feel perfect. I wear them on the wrestling mats. I wear them whenever I'm lifting weights. But honestly, I could probably wear them anywhere. They feel so good on your foot. So if you're looking for a good wrestling shoe, coaches, wrestlers, MMA fighters, boxers, weightlifters, make sure that you check out Terra Grappler. All right. They also have beanies, t-shirts, socks, accessories like that. But man, I'm telling you what, this company is innovative. They are changing the game. You can go to the link in my show notes, get yourself a little discount. You can also sign up for the Champions Club. So every time you purchase or people purchase using your link, you can get yourself a discount toward wrestling shoes and Terra Grappler wrestling gear. They are the best on the market, hands down, guarantee you. Check out the link in the show notes. All right. Well, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I am pumped today. I have on my good friend, Kendrick Maple. If you don't know who Kendrick Maple is, most people in the wrestling world do, but Kendrick is, first off, an absolute phenomenal human being, one of the best men that I know. And then let's look at a little bit of his wrestling career. So, multiple-time high school state champion, was a three-time All-American for University of Oklahoma. So, I'm from Oklahoma. I'm a huge OU fan. I was cheering Kendrick on all the time when he was wrestling for our Sooners, but anyway, so three-time All-American, undefeated national champion for OU as well. Ended up being an assistant coach there. Went to University of Nebraska, was an assistant coach there for a number of years, and then moved on to Mizzou. So University of Missouri, assistant, you know, coach there right now. After college, had a great, you know, international career, was representing the U.S., U.S. freestyle national champion, was on one of our most successful freestyle teams. And anyway, Kendrick, man, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, yeah. So, and yeah, I could list your accolades for days, man. But
you know, that was impressive. That was all off the dome. I wouldn't even remember those.
So, like I said, I was a fan, man. When you were wrestling at OU, I was like, and I've gotten you know, an opportunity to be around Kendrick a lot. We've worked a lot of camps together, and so sometimes you see people and you don't know behind the scenes, but you know, we got to know each other behind the scenes really well. And his coach, his high school coach, is one of my good buddies, was a roommate of mine in college. And so anyway, a lot of connections there. But hey, let's just start here. Your background. Tell us about like where you grew up and then maybe some other sports, you know, before we talk about wrestling, some things that you did as a kid growing up.
Yeah, so I was extremely hyper. Like I was bad. I was just bounced off the walls. Kind of like I have two boys now. I know exactly that they get to run around. I'm like, yep, that was me. So really hyper. So my parents threw me in all the sports, you know, soccer, basketball, football, everything. And I was just rough. Like I was tackling everybody in soccer and basketball. And like it was, and this was in Hutchinson, Kansas, you know, a little smaller town, not in Wichita. And I've brought home a flyer one day. I got a flyer at a school and it was like, hey, join the wrestling team. And I was like, Mom, Dad, I want to do this. And they were like, what is wrestling? Like they had no clue. No one in my family had ever done it. And so they took me to practice and I fell in love. And I don't know how, because I was getting whooped all the time, like terrible. But that's how I started wrestling. Ended up getting with the right people and just getting lucky, I guess, just to be a part of, like, around the right people who were able to kind of help me grow in wrestling. But now growing up, all sports. Like, I loved basketball, football, that stuff. We didn't really get to play basketball because it was during wrestling season, but football was my main sport probably up until, and people don't believe this one, but probably my senior year of high school. Like, I was, up until that point, I was going to play football in college. I was like, I'm doing it. Like, this, it's my dream, and I'm going to go to the NFL, you know, all those hopeless dreams a lot of people have. But it was fun. Like, I enjoyed playing football. And if it wasn't for your good buddy, my good buddy, Coach Church, I probably would have been a D2 dropout football player or something, because he was like, Maple, you're 135 pounds soaking wet. Like, you're not going to play D1 football. And so he talked me out of it and got me to go, because I'd never really went to many national tournaments. So he talked me into going some, so I was able to get recruited a little bit more. So, yeah, no, but sports all throughout my family. My sisters, they won like 4 high school basketball titles. They played volleyball, all that stuff. So very diverse and all that.
Nice. So yeah, I did not know that about football, that it was up to your senior year that you were still leaning that way. So,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Like, Church stayed on you about it, so you got to go on and wrestle. But
yeah, someone had to have a clear head, because I was and I loved wrestling. That's the thing. I loved it. It was just, you know, I never watched a college match. I never watched any of the Olympics or anything. And, you know, my first college match, I was wrestling in it. My first NCAA tournament, I was wrestling in it. So it just wasn't something that was relevant to me. In the summers, I would be playing 7-on-7 football and, you know, hanging out at the pool, playing video games and doing stuff like that. So it wasn't, you know, I wasn't like a kid who was wrestling every summer. You know, I definitely think I could have been, but I also think I had a lot of fun in high school, you know, with that, being able to hang out with football players in the summer and all that stuff. So,
yeah, no, that's good to hear, because I feel like it's a rare kid that can wrestle year round. My dad was a football coach too. I mean, football and wrestling coach. I love football. Actually, my last 2 years of college, trained with the football team in the summer and got offered a football scholarship. They're like, hey, we'll split with wrestling. And my wrestling coach is like, nice. So basically the same thing Coach Church told you, like, bro, you're 150 pounds soaking wet. Like, you're not playing. Like, I will take your wrestling scholarship. And
yeah, that's understandable.
I love the sport too. And like I said, I think for me playing other sports, it's like I had a hunger whenever I got to wrestling season. Mm-hmm. And some kids, man, they can wrestle year round, but I think a lot of them would probably get burned out, or they need to experience some other things.
Yeah, and definitely. And as a coach, like a college coach now, and I recruit all over the country, and we got to find the best guys. And so a lot of people think, you know, college coaches want you to be competing 100% year round, 100% training. And, you know, we like to see kids compete. You know, I definitely recommend going and hitting them some of those big tournaments in the summer. But it's almost like we, you know, from my perspective, I don't necessarily always like the kid who's training 100%. That's the only thing in his life, because those are the kids that you're saying will get burned out, or even just, you know, with their bodies. You know, if you do one thing over and over and over, well, that one thing is probably getting worn out. If you're, you know, that's why we like diverse athletes, you know, because they do have, you know, they're not always, like, if you look at a baseball pitcher, their shoulders are always worn out. If they play baseball, throw pitches all the time. Same with wrestling, how we're in our stances and all that. So, you know, I think just letting your body have that break from that constant wrestling motion and being able to do other things is a good thing.
Yeah. All right. So, you wrestled, so whenever you're in kids club, so you started in Hutch, but you wrestled for Hard Knocks too, didn't you?
As
you,
yep.
So tell me, I mean, so maybe the national, you know, people, because we got people from national and international, the people internationally that listen to this podcast, but mm-hmm. people may not know Team of Hard Knocks. This is a team in Wichita. Coach Knox started it. So it's named after him, Team of Hard Knocks. And mostly inner city kids that wrestle for this, but this program has put out like state champ after state champ at the kids club level, high school level. And then these guys go on to be college All-Americans. So we're talking to Kendrick right now, but you have Dap DeSager and you have Romero Cotton and Tim Elliott and the list goes on and on. So tell me a little bit about, let's just kind of talk wrestling, man, like from Hard Knocks through wrestling for church and then on to OU.
Yeah, man, Hard Knocks. This is, so it was a very different experience for me because Hutchinson, Kansas is, you know, mostly a white town, you know, and so we were wrestling there at the kids club and there was probably two black kids on the team, me and Romero Cotton, I think, and his brother. And then I ended up following Romero Cotton over to Team Iron. That's how we got connected. They were like, hey, we're going to go wrestle for this club in Wichita. We're like, okay. And so we went there and the first day, they told us to wear sweats, like you had to wear long sleeves. And the first day I walk in and I'm wearing yellow sweats and blue bottom sweats. And I'm thinking I'm okay. And they're like, what are you doing? And I, like, as soon as I walk in and I'm like, it's just all, you know, it's just a room full of black guys, black kids. And I'm like, it was like a culture shock. I'm black, but the whole room, I'm like, what is going on? And they were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm here to practice. And they're like, what colors are those? I was like, because Hutchinson was yellow and blue. And they were like, no, we don't do that here. You wear black, white, or gray. I was like, okay. And they were like, Dap, come get this guy. And so Dap DeShazer, he looks roided up now. That's how he looked when he was younger. He was just jacked. And he just comes and starts like throwing headlocks, snakes, just coming at me hard. And so I'm in a, like, almost a fist fight 2 minutes into the room. But that's kind of describes how it was there. I mean, it was a constant fight and we had amazing coaches. And we get a Hard Knocks got a bad rap. It has a bad rap a lot of times and not all everywhere, but you know, but it's because they are tough, man. They are the kids that are coming out there and they're slinging headlocks and they're bad dudes. But they're good people, part of the program. And so, I owe a lot of my success to that program because I remember days where, you know, it's so hot in the room. And I think they've changed their methods a little bit now. But back in the day, man, the heat would be 110. If you like had your face on the mat, you'd burn in your cheeks. So you couldn't get beat up in there. I'd have to wrestle Romero Cotton and Tristan DeShazer and, you know, Cody Haas, all these great wrestlers that are, I mean, we were fighting every day. So it was definitely a big part of my success.
Yeah. So I didn't, you know, growing up in Oklahoma, I didn't really know anything about Team Hard Knocks. And then one of my brothers now, man, one of my closest friends, Kenny Taylor, you know, came from that program. And so Kenny and I wrestled together and I met Coach Knox and, yeah, you know, Big Danny DeSager and got to know those guys really well. And, you know, Coach Knox is a good friend of mine now. And looking, I love a lot of the theories and a lot of things that they do with the program. And of course, Now I'm friends with a lot of people from the program and I live here in Kansas. But yeah, man, so that's, like you said, it's a culture shock. It's a different world for kids going to wrestle in that program. But what they've done is proven, man, over and over and over and continues to do so. So, all right, moving on into high school, wrestling for Coach Church.
Yeah, man, it was. And he actually wasn't the coach when I first got there. So Todd Sockwin, he was.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, when we got there, I think there was one other qualifier or state placer with me my freshman year. Our team was not good. And Sockwin, he stayed on and Church moved in. And Sockwin actually stepped down and let Church be the head coach, which was awesome. And I love Sockwin. He's an amazing guy. And so. So Church came in, he kind of just took over, man. He's such a great mind for the sport, a great mind for, I seriously to this day do not know how he ran our program because we had some clowns. we had, you know, Chase Nelson and Dondre and all these guys who were like tremendous talents and like probably, I mean, Chase started wrestling in high school. So Dondre, I think, did too, or maybe was somewhere around there started, but you know, all these great inner city kids, but a lot to work for, a lot to handle, because you know, you got Chase showing up late all the time and all this stuff. So you know, falling asleep at national tournaments, missing matches. So man, he took over and he held us together and brought us to where we were a powerhouse. And unfortunately, they didn't win. We didn't win until after I left. I went to college, and finally, like, they won wrestling. Then that year they won like football, basketball, and everything at Heights. So it was pretty cool. I wish we could have done it, but didn't get it done.
Yeah, you guys set the base for it. And yeah, Coach Church won a few state titles as a coach, and then I think he got worn out, so he moved into administration. All right, and then now, how did you get to OU, man? What was the process there? And then, like, just tell me a little bit about your career at OU.
Yeah, so I wasn't really highly recruited in Wichita. That's the thing. I never really went to too many national tournaments. I think I went to one or two in high school. I think I went to Root Nationals. That might have been early on in my career. And then I went to Church convinced me to go to high school nationals. So I was getting to like my senior year, and I had not talked to anyone except Nebraska Omaha, which was a Division II at the time. And I was probably going to end up going there. I love the coach. Coach DeBenny was an amazing guy. But Church talked me into going to the national tournament because of Wichita. You got the City League. You got 20 plus schools just in that area. So we never really had to leave for competition. And so I wasn't ranked anywhere. No one knew about me. And I went to that high school national tournament. And the week before, we wrestled all-star duel. And I beat the kid who ended up winning the national tournament I went to, CJ Napier. So I beat him at the all-star duel. Then I went to the high school nationals. I remember I was wrestling like this because I had like dislocated both my thumbs. So they just taped them up like I had like crab claws. But I did wrestle somewhat well. I got third there. And that's when I got started getting some calls. And so I got calls from schools. I ended up going on visits to Northern Illinois, Boston College, Iowa State. And the Iowa State trip was crazy because it was when Kel Sanderson decided he was going to Penn State. And it was like on my way up there that he decided. So when I got there, I was there for when he told his team. We had to sneak out the back door because the press was everywhere. So we kind of had to stay low key that night. We stayed at Casey Cunningham's and just like had pizza and played video games. It was a weird thing. Kel likes to play video games. So it was a unique visit. And then Oklahoma was another one. And then Omaha, Nebraska, Omaha. And then I was supposed to take a couple others, and the schools kind of backed out. They just didn't know enough about me. You know, I got calls from Nebraska and even Missouri. I give Coach Smith a hard time all the time because he missed me. So, but yeah, I ended up taking my visit to Oklahoma and loving it. Had great coaches there and pulled the trigger.
Yeah. So, you know, you went to OU and really stepped in. Like you said, maybe a lot of people didn't know about you nationally, and then pretty quick, like they did. So, and you know, I'm All-American, undefeated national champion. Let's talk about that year, man. And now as a coach, you know, you get to deal with this all the time. But first off, it's a lot of pressure being undefeated. But just wrestling is a lot of pressure anyway, man. You step out there one-on-one, and that's one of the beautiful things of the sport, but it's also one of the hardest things in the sport. So tell me about that season. Like, did you feel pressure? Were you just like, no, I'm just rolling and wrestling? Like, what was the undefeated national championship season like?
Man, that was actually the most free season I had. By that, I think I stumbled upon, not by my own doing, but stumbled upon a mindset similar to, so we do a lot with our guys on mindset. It's one of the biggest training we do. And Ben Askren was one of the greatest minds, I think, with his mindset on competition, how he views it, you know, because he has a growth mindset. And so it's not, he doesn't have that fear of failure because, you know, he's always growing. You know, he doesn't see a loss as a loss. He sees it as something to grow. And I think the more I held wrestling tight like this, the worse I performed. You know, when I was trying just to control absolutely everything and couldn't get past, you know, the small things, that's when I, you know, tightened up in the big matches. And so the year I went undefeated, it was kind of where those things lined up. I was in the word, you know, daily. I was, you know, having fun with wrestling. I figured out that, you know, whatever happens, I'm just going to have fun and enjoy the sport. And I had my coaches in my ear saying it. And so I went out on the mat and, you know, I was planning on for the battle. I was planning on having fun, battling, win by one, win by 14, 15, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to go out there and wrestle. And that's when kind of things started opening up for me. So I didn't really feel the pressure. I was just taking one match at a time. Until the semis and the finals, it was weird. Cause like the whole year, I feel like I had that mindset. And then I got to the national semis and I wrestled pretty tight. I had this Columbia guy, who was known for throwing people. And for whatever reason, I was like, I don't want to get tossed on my head. And so I did tighten up. I still got it done and still wrestled and had fun. But it was, you know, I definitely think in that match in the national finals, I could have opened up more. But you always have those, you know, things. You always go playing back in your head when you get done. But yeah. No, it was a fun year.
Yes. And it was fun to watch, man. And as an OU fan, as a Kinder Maple fan, it was fun to watch. And so, okay, you get done wrestling at OU and then you go and, you know, start a freestyle career. And again, you didn't have a lot of experience there. Tell me a little bit about that, the transition you had to make mentally, physically, and the kind of training and all that.
You know, it was a very difficult time for me because I had, like you said, I hadn't wrestled very much freestyle. So I didn't know, like I knew how to wrestle, right? But I didn't know all the ins and outs of it. My parterre was horrible. After my senior year, I had some medical issues and just had a terrible year. Like I wrestled every match, didn't feel good, did terrible at the national tournament, ended up taking eighth. And at that point, it was kind of like I was talking about, I was holding wrestling like this. And so like I was a broken man. So like after that, I was like, I'm never wrestling again. After that last match, I lost to a kid I should have lost to. And I was like, walked off the mat, just beaten, broken. And so to transition to freestyle after that, I was not ready to make that transition. And that's something I do regret. And I wish I would have, you know, spent the time to go through it more in my heart and talk and open up about it to people. But I kind of held everything tight. And so I didn't end up wrestling. I think I may have went to one tournament that year at NYC, and I was at 65 kilos. And so I've always been in this little in-between weight where I weigh about, even right now, I weigh about 148 pounds. And so for 65 kilos, you got guys cutting down, which is 143 point whatever. So I'd be cutting only a few pounds, and you got guys cutting down from 170, 180. And then the weight below that for Olympics is 57, which is way too low. It's 125 pounds. And then you have 61 kilos, which I end up wrestling. But I went 65 kilos for that tournament. And I just remember I didn't have anyone in my corner. I went up there by myself and just found out what a lonely world freestyle is at the top. But and that's something that you can definitely, like I said, I wish I would have reached out. I could have done more things to go train at this place, go train at that place, bring partners in. But it was just very defeating. Time. And so I end up not wrestling after that tournament for like another year or two. and then I started this like roller coaster of I would compete. So I'd get an itch. Like I knew I was still good enough to do it. But I would get an itch. And then I think the first time I did it was I went to the US Open. I decided to go to it like a month or two before it. And I was coaching at the time. So I was sitting there in the office. I'm like, you know what? I think I want to wrestle in the US Open. And my buddy was like, Tyrell Todd was like, oh, okay. Yeah, let's do it. Let's train for it. About time. And so we spent the month training, trying to get ready for it. And I ended up taking, I think, second at the Open and then the fourth at the World Team Trials. And so I had some success and it was close. And I think I ended up losing to Stieber, probably was that year, or Reese Humphrey. But I had a lot of fun doing it, but at the same thing, it was like, at that point, it was less my, you know, fear or doubts. It was more, I started to fall in love with coaching. So I was in there with the guys every day and I was that became my love. And then I started having babies. I got married and all that stuff. And so I had my loves kind of split in all these different ways. And so I was trying to divide that up and figure out how I was going to, because I've never been a guy who wanted to do something halfway. And so I knew what I wanted to do if I did wrestle, and I knew I would have to sacrifice a lot, and I wasn't really willing to sacrifice my family. And so it came down to the job, and I fell in love with those guys who I was coaching. And so it was tough for me. And I know, and that was one of the things, you know, when I tried to stay at OU, the coach told me was, you got to pick, you can't coach and you can't wrestle. You got to do one or the other. And so, you know, it was a tough thing for me, but all that to be said, I still enjoyed my freestyle career. I think it was fun. And I know now I have a huge passion for making other guys to become their highest and their best. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's weird that distinction and that time. So as a competitive athlete, and when you've competed your whole life, no matter what sport it is, but like when you're done. So when you're done wrestling in college, it's like, okay. And now there's MMA, a lot of guys transition to, but I know, like for me, that wasn't a thing at the time. It was still kind of underground. So you get done, like, okay, am I good enough to make the Olympic level? If not, like, what am I going to do? And then you're kind of like, who am I, right? Because you've done it for so long. And again, yeah, and we'll kind of talk about this later, but having a relationship with Jesus matters. But
yeah,
so because you kind of see yourself as like, I am a wrestler, or I am the whatever. So
yeah.
But I think there's a point in your competition career. So I know for me, like, man, I really missed competing bad when I was done wrestling. Started training jiu-jitsu, started competing a little bit. But I remember like winning a jiu-jitsu tournament and getting my hand raised and just like thinking in my mind, I get way more excited when my wrestlers win matches than I feel right now.
At yeah, that
point, I knew like I was probably done competing, and all my focus and energy was going into coaching because I loved those guys and their career. Like you said, exactly. So I know that feeling 100%. And all right, so let's talk about your coaching career, man. And, you know, I believe that God's given you this amazing gift and passion and experience, right? So you've had all this experience, and now you can take it and pass it on to these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you coached at OU and then at Nebraska, and you were around world-class athletes. I mean, Jordan Burroughs and all those guys in Nebraska, then now you're at Mizzou. What are some of the things that kind of made you fall in love with coaching?
Well, I think the initial thing was, and because I was planning on going into the medical field, like when I entered college, that was like my degree I was planning on doing. But I found that I've always respected and like leaned toward my coaches, like yeah, the people I had my best relationships were my, obviously my family, but were my coaches. So when I got out of college, you know, the people I still looked up and admired to most were still my coaches from club, my high school coach, church, and now my college coaches. You know, me and Mike Leitner, great buddies today. And so that, it was like an easy transition because it was still wrestling. And it's something I seen people pour into me, and I was like, man, I want to do that to someone, you know, for the rest of my life. I know I can pour into these guys and help them do way better than I ever did. And so, and I made a lot of mistakes that I can warn them about. And so that's, it was an easy transition there. And then I could still have fun with the sport I do. I get to wrestle. We wrestle with our guys every day. So I get to go in there and scrap and all that. So it's fun.
Now, you know, Mizzou is, and, you know, coach, so whenever Coach Smith came in, Mizzou was not really a powerhouse, not really a staple in the sport of wrestling. He comes in, gets it going. Ashton comes in. So a lot of big things happened and continue to happen with Coach Smith there. So what drew you to Mizzou, you know, to Mizzou? I mean, tell me a little bit about the things that, you know, you guys got going in your program and why you love it there.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It always, you know, being around in the sport, I would always look at Mizzou and they would always be amazing. Like, at least during my time, they were always, you know, top 10 team, usually top five. I think we placed top six now, like 10 years in a row or like something crazy like that. So we've been a powerhouse. And so I always like wondered what's going on there. But that's the thing. It was always under the radar, like no one really knew. And they don't get, Mizzou doesn't get the hype that Penn State does, but I think we do. I think we have something special going on here, and he's had something special going on. And so I've always wanted to be in here and know what it's like. And now that I am, I know exactly what's doing. It's Smith and his culture, how he approaches the sport, how he runs the team. He lays out a very, and he calls it Tiger style, but he lays out a very specific way we are going to train and be, right? And so it's not just, oh yeah, we're going to be good people and we're going to compete hard. You know, it's about building these guys up for their life and building them as men. And so he preaches it every day and our guys follow it. And because they believe it, because he's living it every day and he's showing them and he's constantly pouring books into them, podcasts, all these different things. And so he's training the mind just as much as he's training the body. And I think that's a big part of it. You know, and I think he's been fortunate to have good coaches around him and good support. And so I think that's another thing that drew me to it is they have such diversity. You know, you think about, it's not a cookie cutter program like other places to where, you know, everybody wrestles the same. Everybody has to do it like this and this. You know, you got everywhere from Ben Askren, the funkiest of the funky, to Jaden Cox, who's just a freak, right? And then you guys got women that like Haddishall and, you know, Ellis and heavyweight. It's just, it's crazy. And I think Smith has done more with not the highest level recruited guys, right? I've seen tons of All-Americans, national champs he's put out. When they came in, they weren't probably in the top 50 of the rankings. And so that's something that intrigues me. It's easy to, you know, take a top guy and make him, you know, have him win a national title, but take a guy who's not and have him build him up. That's something that's special. So it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you being from Kansas, and I'm not a Kansas State fan. They have Wyatt Hubert, who's one of my guys. Monster All-American for him at the end. But everybody from Kansas knows, like, Bill Snyder took this K-State program and from nothing to something. And he took all these guys that were 2- and 3-star athletes, you know, or sometimes not even, you know, that, and made them consistently very good. I can't say a powerhouse. Some years they are, some years they're not. But yeah. Coach Smith has done the equivalent plus some at Mizzou. Yeah. Like you said, he's not getting the, you know, the number one, number two high school guy in the nation coming out every year, you know, but he's still just building this. So that tells me that his system and his culture, and because it wasn't like a one hit wonder, like it's consistently over and over, his system and his culture are very high level and they work. What he's doing works, you know? And then, so hearing it from you makes me trust and believe that even more, you know? So I'm going to have to, outside of this, pick your brain, because as a coach, I want to add the best things I can to my program as well.
Yes.
Now let's talk about this. Your faith is a big part of your life. All right. You're a believer in Jesus. So tell me a little bit about, like, when you gave your life to Christ, and, you know, how does that lay a foundation for everything else that you do?
Yeah, I think I grew up in the church and my family's always been a big help in that. But college is a big time. It's a big change in life. So your parents aren't making you go to church every Sunday. You don't have to. And so it's a time to where, you know, you do a lot of soul searching, right? And I had great people around me. Coach Spates, Jack Spates was one of the biggest, was, you know, almost every time I'd see him, he would be like, hey, how's your walk going? Yeah. Hey, how's your faith going? And it didn't seem like much at the time. But now that I look back, man, that was some of the biggest help I got in college, because it constantly had me, you know, putting God back in my mind in a world that's so corrupt, especially the college life. You know, you can get swooned up into partying and all the other stuff. If there's bad stuff, you can find it, but it's about what you're searching for. And so Coach Spates was constantly having me, you know, look to the Lord, look to his word. You know, and I had my downfalls. I'm still a sinner at the end of the day, but it was definitely something I was able to kind of really cultivate my own faith, you know, not my parents' faith, but my own faith. And so in college, I think that was big for me. And then transitioning into wrestling was a very big roller coaster for me, because I try to, like, help our guys. This is one of the ways I try to help in coaching today, because I made the mistake of thinking I could pray my way to win. And I see a lot of guys doing it. They're, you know, coach, I'm doing everything right, working hard, I'm praying every day, I'm in the word, and I just feel like God isn't answering this and that. And that's not what God promises, right? Wins at the end of the day, you're going to look back at your life and be like, how dumb was I? You know, that, like, I thought that mattered. And so it got to where, like, my freshman, sophomore year, and I think it was my sophomore year, and this is when I kind of transitioned to that free mindset for the year I went undefeated, was I lost at the national tournament. I remember I was doing well that year. I was ranked pretty high, and I ended up getting fourth at nationals. And after that last match, I was broke again. I was, I'm so, anyone knows me, I'm really competitive. So I was like in the locker room mad, and just ended up crying, like just sitting down there crying, like saying, Lord, I prayed, I did everything right. Why did I lose? Why did you allow me to lose? Right. And I had a very cool moment of clarity, and it was kind of God giving me that comfort and realizing that wrestling is not my identity. You know, wrestling is a jacket I can take off, put on and take off, but it's not who I am inside. And so from that moment on, it was like, wrestling is not what this life is about. And so I kind of freed that grip I had on wrestling, and turns out I start wrestling better. It's funny how it works out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as a coach now, you know, and not just a coach, but I mean, you know, you're a husband, you're a dad. I hear your boys back there, and I got four kiddos of my own.
Yeah, going wild.
my boys are, they're upstairs right now doing, because we're remote schooling, so they're doing work. But yeah, dude, they're 1,000 miles an hour. So, but you know, so as a coach and then as a family man, how does faith play a role? Like, what are some of the things that you do to, whether it's prayer or reading the Bible, like, to really keep your relationship right with God?
I mean, staying in the Word as much as I can. Like, the times I didn't know I struggle the most, I'll look back and be like, man, I haven't read in a while. And so just trying to stay in the Word. We go to a Bible study that's really cool. It has a lot of the wrestling staff in it. And so just having people around you, have your inner circle to where you have believers, because at the end of the day, the people you're around are going to rub off on you in some way, whether you like it or not. You're going to become more like them. So if you're around a bunch of bad people, you're probably going to start doing bad stuff in some way. And so I try to surround myself with the right people. And so I have people that are lifting me up constantly. And I got great friends. And so I think that helps me. And at the end of the day, just staying in prayer with God is something that's the Spirit needs. So, and then with coaching, like, I think it's why I'm coaching. It's why I want to be able to build these guys up and show them. Now, I'm never going to, like, just thump them on the head with a Bible. You know, if a guy's not receptive to it, you don't have to be a believer to come to Missouri, but you know, it's definitely something, if you're searching, you need that guidance, you will get. I know our guys, we send them Bible plans through the app, and they enjoy that. We have them come to church with us and all that stuff. So I think we got a good thing going for that.
Yeah, awesome. Now, as an athlete, if you were just to pick a couple of things for the people who are still competing right now, or maybe parents of an athlete that might be listening, what are just like 2, 3, 4 things that, if you could go back in time, or maybe that, you know, with your guys right now, in general, as an athlete, what should they be focusing on?
Yeah, it's a tough one, but I think if we're talking young people who, you know, maybe do so aspire to be wrestlers, I would say, specifically for college, obviously, I would say get your grades right. Mm-hmm. Do everything right there. So that definitely helps me out recruiting when you have good grades. I would say do anything to get out of your comfort zone every day. If you can get outside your comfort zone every day, because that's the thing. People, when we have it, I talked to one of our guys just this past week, and I was like, man, you are working hard, because he has been working hard. If you look at him, he's one of the hardest workers in the room. But at the end of the day, he's developed that work ethic and he's working hard, but it's become his new comfort zone. He can be comfortable working hard and still not be knocking down any walls. He can still be comfortable. And so it looks good from what we see, but he's still not getting as good as he could be. And so he has to kind of push past that. So getting outside your comfort zone, I would say, is a big one. And then I'm trying to think back to some of my things I would regret or to change, which I think it was all good experiences. So definitely read more. That's yeah. something that Smith preaches is read more. And if you constantly look to read, I'm not just saying, the Bible or scripture, you go and read, books to help, your mindfulness, books to, that's one thing. I started reading a lot of books about mindfulness and meditating, and it's helped me a lot. Meditation is one of the best things you can do for your mind and body. So I do recommend that too. Yeah. And because at first I was kind of like, oh, it's just something hippies and monks do. but the more I dive in, man, there's so much science behind it. There's so much ways it can help you. And so I've been doing a lot of practices every day with that too. So those are some of the biggest things. So reading, meditate. What was the other ones I said?
Get outside the zone.
Get your grades right.
Yeah. So, talk about, reading and mindfulness and those type of things leads me right into my next question. Like, you are a high level athlete. You are a high level human being. You're still a high level athlete. You're still in freak shape. What are some of the things that you do? Because I always like to look at high performers. There's a reason why they're high performers, right? And they have these daily habits or things that they normally do. So what are some of the daily habits that you have in your success routine? Whether it's a morning routine, like you said, reading, whatever. So what are some of your best habits?
Yeah. And right now, or when I was competing?
Right now.
Right now, I said, I think my best habits would be reading. Try to read something every day. So I have probably a couple Bible plans going with different friends and some by myself, meditating. So I have a meditating app that I can log my meditations. The one thing I want to start doing more is journaling. I think that's huge. I just haven't been able to commit to it like I should. But those are, I think, my top habits right now. I'm kind of past the point where I'm competing. So now it's, being able to coach these guys. And I think some of the best way I can do that is develop myself in my mind to where I can learn, break through those barriers myself. I think one of the biggest things I struggled with was fearing failure and fearing to get tired, in my wrestling career. And so I've made it like a very big point in my coaching career to learn how to break through those walls. And that's why I practice it now. And so that I can be able to help these guys when they do come in and struggle with that. And so I think me constantly developing myself in that way. And I found a lot of success just by doing the meditations, learning how my body works, learning how my mind works, so that I have an awareness of it and I can better work through it when it's actually happening, cause I still do get tired in the room, but I'm able to work through it. So we got some studs in the room, man. I can still whoop them. But they're getting close.
Well, that's good. And it's funny because, like with the reading thing, I was not a reader growing up. I mean, like if the teacher assigned it, I read it. But outside of that, I never read. And even in college, I mean, it was like I was a three-time academic All-American. I mean, it was like do all my assignments, but nothing on the outside of that. So it wasn't until I became an adult that I kind of – and it was through leadership training and things like that. And some really inspirational people who said, hey, you need to be doing this. Yeah. Begin to read, found a love for it. And I can't say I'm a great reader. I'm not one of those people that can read like a book every 2 days, but I probably read at least 2 books a month, sometimes 3, but it's amazing. And I've heard this quote and I love it. There's a couple here, but one is you just don't have long enough to live to experience everything. Right. Mm-hmm. So we want to experience as much as we can, but whenever you read, you get to gain a lot of experience just through reading and things you can apply to your own life. And especially when it comes to mistakes, like we'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes than our own.
Yeah.
And then another thing I love, and as an author, I didn't think about it this way until I heard this, but like one of the great things about reading is like, it's one of the only times like you can literally get inside someone's mind. So whoever wrote the book, you're literally getting in their mind because they're laying their thoughts out for you. And it's amazing what you can experience from it. But Yeah. So I'm a big reader too. And I love to hear those type of things. I know you probably still have to eat well, man. I mean, you're, like I said, you're still in great shape physically. And, you know, so do you guys, and I know, you know, your wife, she works out and does those things. You guys eat pretty well at your household? Is nutrition like a staple for you all?
Yeah, I got lucky. I got a wife who is an amazing cook and she likes to eat healthy. It's funny because it almost, we eat healthy so much that I'm like, man, can we eat some fried food? Like I'll have times where I'll break. I'm like, hey, we're going to get like McDonald's. Like we're going to go get the worst food you can get just so we can like taste some, like, you know, I mean, it not taste because she is great cooking. She'll come in here and whoop me. But no, we eat pretty healthy. Like I think if you make it a habit, it becomes, you know, to where you enjoy it. Like it's weird now to me. I would think about when I was in high school, I would never, you know, went in my fridge and grab like a handful of spinach. I do it all the time. I'll go and I'll grab a handful of spinach, just like eat on them just randomly. And, you know, I think, you know, we definitely have times where we do eat unhealthy, but I think for the most part, we eat pretty clean. You know, we try to eat our vegetables, fruits, and try to teach our kids it too. So it's good. You know, one thing in college, I became like more aware of it was, you know, because I started my freshman year, they pulled my red shirt and I cut down to 133. And it was brutal. Like I was dying to make it and I wasn't doing it right nutritionally. I was starving myself and all that. And so after that year, I kind of learned, or kind of towards the end of the year, I kind of started learning what I can put in my body that would make me feel better and still keep that weight down. And so I kind of fell in love with the nutrition side then. And then my sophomore year, we had Andrew Howe come. He transferred to OU and he was my roommate. And this dude would come at night and have like a plate this big up to here of like broccoli, and he would eat it like every night. It was like the weirdest thing. And so I started like, and I was like, dude, that's disgusting. Like, what do you like that? He was like, I'm just eating. Like he wasn't eating, you know, for the enjoyment. He was eating to fuel his body. And so I kind of changed my mind about food with that. And so it just became a habit.
Yeah, it's a great habit. Like you said, it's a great habit, not only for like you and your wife, but also as you're teaching your children as well. And so it doesn't mean that, and I would say we eat clean at least 95% of the time. I might do a little bit more, but we still have our pizza nights and grandma and grandpa definitely still take the kids to McDonald's sometimes and things like that. Yeah. So, but it's a good, you know, it's a good lesson to teach them. So now real quick, man, your favorite part about being a dad?
Oh, being a dad. All the things that come with it. I don't think there's one thing, man. We wrestle, like, that's one of the hardest things is being a wrestling coach, or you're banging with the college wrestlers. They're coming after you. You're just worn out. Like, come home. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just wrestled so much. Dad, let's wrestle. Yeah. That's the very first thing I hear. And so I get up off the couch and, you know, I think just seeing them enjoy things is so cool. Seeing them enjoy wrestling, seeing them enjoy, you know, a cartoon, just watching the look in their eyes when they see something that they like, it's a fun, it's definitely trying at times when they're getting wild, but you know, it's all worth it, and I'm trying to soak it all up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been one of the things about this whole COVID quarantine and all this stuff that's going on. It's definitely been more family time. And as we look at like things to be grateful for, that's definitely one of the things I'm grateful for. We've been around our children a lot more. And man, it's like you can be doing good things, but so many good things, and you're on the go so much that you miss kind of the main things, right? Sometimes, at least I can speak for myself, and I can get so involved in coaching and wrestling and doing stuff that next thing I know, I'm neglecting my family. And not that I'm great at it still, I'm not, but this has provided more time to slow down and be around them.
Yeah. And that's something that's interesting too, because I've just in the wrestling world, we're so hard-headed, right? We're so like work hard, harder than anyone else. And so it's been something I've been trying to play with, because one day I plan on being a head coach. I don't think anytime soon. I'd rather have more time with my family. But to kind of remodel how we work in our sport as coaches, I think a lot of times coaches, we think, because I've been around to where, you know, it's showing up at 6 a.m., So, and then not getting home until 7:30 at night. I spent a time where I was my schedule in coaching. And I'm like, I'm missing everything I'm working for. Like, I'm not working to live right now. I do work and have a purpose with work, but at the end of the day, my family means the most, my faith means the most. And I found that those two things I was spending the least amount of time on. Yeah. And so I was waking up and not seeing my kids before they woke up, going to work and then staying there all day and then getting home with an hour before they go to bed, 30 minutes before they go to bed. And so that was all week. And then you go and compete and you leave for the weekend, so you don't see them during the weekend. I'm like, yo, there's got to be a better way. And so I've that's one thing Mark Cody was really good at, one of my college coaches, was he would find time for his family. You know, he would make those, you know, if it's just going home for lunch for an hour and spending time with them, it's whatever it is, and just rescheduling. I think you can get more done at little amount of time. You know, if I can go in the office and watch all the film I need to, get all the recruiting done I need to, take any notes I need to on guys' film, whatever it is, I can knock all that out really fast and do it right, and then not spend the other time where I feel like sometimes coaches were just like in the office just to be in the office. Yeah. and we don't get to spend that time and that quality time with our families. So it's definitely something I have plans for, and Coach Smith does an amazing job with it too. You know, if we need time for our family, we don't even have to ask, we just spend it. And so it's been very good. And that's one thing I respect about him is, you know, he knows the value of family. And so if my family want to come up and have lunch with me, it's not a problem. If I need to go out for the day, it's not a problem. So it's good.
That's excellent. Yeah, I love that thought process. And Tony Dungy, I think, is one of the first coaches I really read about that said, like, he changed the model, right? And I think a lot of people only coach how they were coached. They don't really think outside of that. You know, Tony Dungy was like, no, like everybody in the NFL does this with their coaches. We're not going to. Family matters. We're going to have like this entire day off. I can't remember. It was like Wednesdays or something. Like, hey, guess what? Wednesdays, like it's a day off. You're with your family. People are like, what? Like, how are we going to win? And then he wins the Super Bowl, you know? And
yeah,
we can think outside the box a little bit here and still be very effective. So that's, I love that, man. Yeah. All right. Hey, bro, last question. Okay. So I always call this fast feet. As an athlete, you got a fast feet and you're like one of the fastest dudes I know. So this is perfect, but you can answer all three of these, or you can just answer one, expound upon it as much as you want. Okay. So I want you to tell me about highlight, a hero, or a hardship in your life. Highlight, hero, or a hardship, and then just expound upon it.
Highlight, hero, or hardship. Those are all good ones. Let's see, man, I think highlights would be my kids being born was a special moment. Moments getting married was special. Winning the national title was a good highlight, but I don't really remember, but that's a weird thing. I don't remember much of it. I don't know if I, cause it was like I was in a movie. So, heroes, had some good ones. And then hardships, that was one of them.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess my hero would still, I'll go the cheesy one, but I gotta go my dad. Seeing how what he came from and the struggles he had to go through and raising a family on no money, and seeing him stay steadfast. I think everybody always wants to see that big, like, come up story or won a lot of money or won a big prize. But the highs and lows, the biggest thing I saw my dad was steadfastness. Like, he held to his values. He never wavered, and it kept the same all the way through growing up. You know what I mean? So for him to like work steadily every day, for him to always be that man of God was very cool to see. You know, I never really seen him to where, you know, he had that low period. Definitely had some struggles, but, you know, he did a good job of, you know, showing me what a man of God looks like. Yep. So
That's a great one. My dad's my hero too, man. So it's it might seem cliche or cheesy or whatever, but I think it's a good person to have in your life. And none of us are perfect, man, but we hope that, you know, we can be that for our children too. I'm assuming you do. I know I do. You know, we'd love to be that for our children. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's a good one. So, well, Kendrick, man, thank you so much for being on. This has been valuable. And I know that coaches listening or athletes listening, hey, make sure that you're taking notes, go back, re-listen. There are so many little things that you said in here that that apply to life, right? So not just athletics, but apply to life in general. So where can we follow you and where can we follow Mizzou Wrestling? Social media, websites?
Yeah, I'm like the worst social media guy. I'm not a big hype guy. I'm work behind the scenes, but I do. I have Facebook and Twitter. So at KMaple141 is my Twitter, and then Facebook, just my name. Mizzou Wrestling, so you can follow Tiger Style Wrestling, I think is the Twitter handle. And it's definitely a good time to follow us, because when I tell you we got a special thing, special people in the room, we talked earlier about, you know, not always getting the number one recruits. Well, we had the number two recruiting class this past year, and we already had a really good team. We had some amazing guys in the room. And we got some dudes that are going to be extremely special. We just took them to the U20s. We had three or four champs, and they were dominating. And so we got some exciting wrestlers in the room. Some guys that, man, I'm scared because they might be beating me by the end of their career. they are amazing. So definitely going to be some good highlights to watch soon.
Excellent. So I'll make sure that I put your information and Mizzou information in the show notes so people can click on that and follow you guys and check it out. So again, man, thanks for being on here. I appreciate it. One of my favorite men in the world. So it's an honor having you on.
Thank you. Thank you.
You bet. Good day. All right, everybody. This has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, shine his face upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. This is an incredible company, family owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up. And this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.